Right. Okay. Welcome to everyone. I'm just pouring some milk. I'll be with you. And some more. Pouring the device. We have the latest technology. Okay. So this week, I want to speak a little about, Mitzvah Shem, about Graf Sharei. And actually, it's a not long piece here, but there's actually pretty interesting stuff that comes out from here. Yeah? So kind of let's look at it inside. Yeah? So basically, I'm a Shmuel. So Shmuel comes... Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Yeah?
Okay.
Because it's a short piece, I thought I'd just kind of read these few lines inside. Yeah. So I'm a Shmuel. Graf Sharei, but Abit Sholmei Miraklayim. Yeah? So you've got basically a vessel for defecation and a vessel for Uri. Yeah? Muta lehotzian l'ashva. So once they've been used on Shabbos or Yontif, obviously, you can go and take it out to the dumping ground, yeah, and empty it out. Ukushchu machziro, and right, and then once you've when you want to bring it back, yeah, nosen bo mayim machziro. Then what should you do? You can't just take the vessel, the kind of empty vessel, back in. You need to put in water, and then you can bring it back. Yeah. I'm just going to carry on reading a little bit, yeah? Sabamine, right? So we thought that Graf Sharei Agavmana in, right? Bifnei Atzmolo. So we thought here that the actual thing which is disgusting, yeah? Is the kind of the Rei, yeah? And we thought maybe you can only move that around kind of through the vessel, yeah? But you know, the Graf Sharei, the kind of disgusting thing itself, maybe you can't move directly. And then we're going to say Tashma, that's not the case. And basically, we see a case given about where there was a rat in the spice box, and the rat itself, he said you could take the rat by its tail and chuck it out. So that's the Gemara. So, kind of what's kind of interesting here that I wanted to focus on is this the second part, in a sense. Yeah. So we see the chiddush that you can take the Graf Sharei, right, and you can take it out and empty it. Yeah. But when it comes to returning then the empty vessel, there's a din here that what you need to do is you need to put in water, and then on that basis you can return it. Yeah? And the question that the Mefarshim are bothered by is that what's the basis here, right, for this kind of heter, let's call it, of taking it back but by filling it up with water. So the first thing to mention is, yeah, what does the water?
You should be able to take it back at all. So
everything you're saying is good. I'm going to leave it open for a second, yeah? Good questions, yeah? Why do you need water? How does water help? Yeah? But in the sense, part of this chabur is going to be looking at both those questions. Maybe you shouldn't need water, but if you do need water. So let's speak it out. That's excellent. That's what I'm trying to get to. So basically, the first thing they point out is, yeah, insofar as water is somehow doing something, yeah? So seemingly you'd have to say that the water in this kind of, let's call it a stinky pot, whatever you want to call it, yeah? That the water is actually kind of usable for something, right? So, yeah, so the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Shittim of Betzes, point out that this water, they ask that question, they point out the water, you can use it for your animals, yeah? But okay, so fine, you're putting in water, and now the water has some kind of usage, yeah? But the next question would be, that at the end of the day, how does that help, right? It seems to be, right, for some reason, well, you know, we'll have to kind of work out why, but you can't take the pot itself, the empty pot. Now, the simple explanation for that would therefore be that pot, that empty pot, is maos. It's also disgusting, right? So therefore, right, something which is maos, yeah, usually there's a concept of muksa machnas mius, yeah? There are certain things, and we've seen it in fact before, yeah? You use like a spit and it's disgusting afterwards and whatever, yeah? That you know, something which is really disgusting, yeah, itself can get a din of muksa on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So let's go and assume, yeah, that you're out in the outside the dustbin area, yeah, and you've now got this empty Graf Sharei, yeah, and it's maos, muksa machnas maos. Okay, so that's why you can't just take it in, right? But what you're then told to do is put in water. Now you can take it in. Now what's the basis of that heter? Now the reason I'm asking is because it sounds a bit like, yeah, another situation which we've seen, which is trying to move something muksa by putting something not muksa onto it, yeah? right? A heter, in fact, as Shmuel himself said, yeah, early on, in, I think on Kaf Aleph, yeah, we talked about there was a pip that was, you know, not nice pip, whatever, from Tamar, and we said, yeah, you can move it by kind of putting bread on it or something like that, yeah. So there is such a concept, yeah, of kind of, you know, taking something like bread or something mutter and putting it on something mutter and moving it, yeah. But al pi halacha, we hold that that heta is a very narrow heta, yeah, and basically only works, yeah, for moving a mace. Right, and that's the conclusion of the Gemara in Shabbos, yeah. That you can move, you know, you can move a mace, yeah, and there's obviously a good reason for. Well, yeah.
That's different, though. Yeah.
That stops it being muksa to start off with. But we're talking about something which already is muksa, yeah. So you can't usually permit the moving of muksa by simply just putting something not muksa on it, and then yeah, you can stop something being a basis, but yeah, that's working in order to say that it's not a basis because it's got a devala heta. And that's the conclusion. That's how we paskin. Yeah. So the Mefushim are bothered, like, you know, fine, you're putting in water. The water's going to have some kind of usage, yeah, for its animals, yeah. But in so far as our starting point is this empty thing is muksa, how should it help basically to put in water? It's kind of like a pretty obvious and actually quite a kind of fundamental question, yeah. So the Beis Yosef, on the tour in Shimon Shin Ches, yeah. So he brings two answers, yeah, and there's actually some quite interesting differences that come out from these two answers, yeah, two answers in the Rishonim, yeah. The first answer is brought in the name of the Rashba, and also Rabbeinu Rucham and the Mari Abuhav, yeah, and basically they want to say that returning the Graf Sharei, there's a certain, it's going to be more, we're going to be more lenient on this than a normal book, so why is that, yeah? Sorry? Oh, exactly.
Why is it mouse? I mean, it's mouse, but you have no choice. You have to use it with
it. Okay, so you're right. Yeah, that's kind of what it comes out, right? It's mouse, right? So it is, you know, it is kind of muksa, right? But you want it available for use again, right? And that is, you know, kavod, yeah? It may not be, by the way, it's a bit tricky here, right? Because there's a full-blown concept of kavod abrius, yeah? And kavod abrius is a very strong concept that allows you to kind of completely, generally, kind of, we mutter certain drabonans for kavod abrius, yeah? But there's also a concept of kavod, which may be a bit of a lesser level, but it's kind of at least a reason to be lenient, yeah? So it could be here that, you know, you're not yet got kind of stuff that's right in front of you that needs to be taken out, yeah, and there would be all covered abrius issues. But you do need it available for usage, yeah, and that is kind of, you know, a covered of, you know, it's a covered kind of purpose, yeah, to have your pan or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, this vessel available. So it is muksa, but because of this need of kavod, yeah, there's a particular reason why we want to be able to permit you to bring it in, yeah, and therefore we take this concept of being able to move limited types of muksa, yeah, through putting something mutter on it, yeah, which only otherwise applies, by the way, to a mace, yeah, but we're applying that leniency here because we want to be lenient because of the fact that you might need to use it again. That's basically according to the Rashba.
If you have another vessel of phone, then you should not be able to.
Yeah, Lachora, that's a very good point. Yeah, I mean, that's not. We'll see. There's some nafkaminas that are going to come out, but Lachora, I think you're right. That would be another nafkamina. I hear. Yeah, for sure. So that's the approach of the Rashba. Yeah. However, the Beis Yosef points out that the Rosh, yeah, when he's talking about this halacha, he just seems to say, he doesn't make any qualifications, doesn't say, oh, you can bring it back so that it's available for use. He just seems to say, no, you can just, this is a, seems to be like a blanket heter to take it back in, yeah? So basically, based on that, the Beis Yosef wants to suggest there must be another reason why the Rosh permits it, right? Because otherwise, you know, if it's kind of a much more limited thing that you can bring it back because you need to reuse it, that should have been said. One example would have been, and we'll see others, but kind of a direct nafkamina like you're saying, yeah? But if you just say, no, you can bring it back through putting water in, and that's how you pass it, yeah, as a kind of blanket thing, it must mean that there's some other kind of more general reason. So what the Beis Yosef wants to suggest is another form of heter that we've seen in the past, yeah, but it's an interesting application for this, yeah, which is kind of sofa mishum tchilaso, yeah? Which is, yeah, that sometimes where there's a kind of, you know, a good reason for wanting you to do something, yeah, or for allowing you to do something, yeah, but it takes you to a situation of where you're not going to want to do it if you're kind of left stranded, yeah? So we'll allow as a further leniency the sof, the kind of end thing. So here, in this, the application of here would be, yeah, that, you know, you need to take out this used pan, right, that's got defecation, whatever it is, yeah? That is a very strong pressing need, yeah? And we know that, you know, this is kind of, you know, a valuable utensil, right? And you don't want to have to take it out to the waste area and then just leave it there, right? So therefore, in order to give you that leniency, yeah, that we want to say that even afterwards we allow you to use this leniency of putting something mutter on it and then taking it back in, yeah? Okay, now it's a bit of a mechudish thing because the other cases of sofa mishum tchilaso that we've seen is where the starting point is actually a mitzvah, like, you know, we want you to shecht because of simchas yontif. So once you shecht, we don't want to lose out, and therefore, let's say we allow you to put skins on the floor and you know, and it'll be trodden on and things like that. This is a bit more of a mechudish dikka version because it's not say a mitzvah, but at least let's call it a strong pressing need to we want to allow you to be able to take out this pan, this dirty pan on Shabbos yontif. So okay, so those are the two approaches based brought by the Beis Yosef. Now the Tilis L'David, yeah, a very important Acharon, yeah, in terms of, you know, Psak, yeah. So he actually wants to suggest that there might be two halachic nafgaminas, yeah, but based on those two shitas, yeah, which is pretty interesting, yeah. So he said, looking at the Rashba to start off with, yeah, he wants to say, yeah, for the Rashba, he would say that it would be permitted to initially bring in a pan, yeah, that hasn't yet been used, yeah. So let's say you have to have a situation of where you've got this gruff, yeah, shalrei that's outside, yeah. He would say even though you haven't used it yet, yeah, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to bring it in for future use, yeah. But yeah, he would say, yeah, that if you've used it, yeah, and it's outside and you don't plan on using it anymore, you haven't really got any genuine thing, let's say it's kind of almost coming near the end of Shabbos Yom Tov, or let's say your example, yeah, where you've got another thing that you could use, yeah, or on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So in that situation, yeah, then he would hold, yeah, that Taka, you can't bring it in. So that's the Rashba. And in contrast for the Rosh, yeah, he would say, if let's say you're in a situation of where you haven't yet used it, so even though maybe you'll have a future usage, but according to the Rosh, if it's sofa mishum tilaso, then it's really only allowing you to take it back in because we allowed you to take it out in the first place. So if you haven't yet, that's not going to permit future usage, yeah? So if you're outside, yeah, and you haven't, you know, you haven't kind of yet used it, you can't just simply take it in, right? However, right, he would suggest that on the other hand, the kula of the Rosh would be, yeah, that if you've kind of, you know, used it and you've now taken outside, yeah, even if you've got another pan inside, yeah, sofa mishum tchilaso would say, we want you to allow you to take it back because otherwise you'd be reluctant to take it out in the first place if there's a danger it will get destroyed. So those are basically kind of two nafkaminas, yeah, between those two approaches of the Rashba and the Rosh. Now, in terms of how we paskin, yeah, the Mishnah Brewer points out that the Shulchan Aruch bring this halacha of being able to fill up with water and take it in. It just brings it stung, yeah, without any qualifications, yeah. So basically, that sounds like basically you should be able to return it without having to, you know that you're planning on reusing it. Yeah? That's what it said. But Mishnah Brewer says some people are machmir. So it could be basically that although it sounds like the steamers of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like we're more makel in that sense like the Rosh, but some people would say, you know, you have to plan on using it. That seems to be the halacha l'maaseh. Okay, so that's kind of one chelek. Where it becomes quite interesting now is this is kind of, you know, I don't want to confuse anyone, so, you know, just important to kind of take a pause and know that adkan is fine, yeah. But there's a korban netanel on the Rosh that wants to suggest a different kind of explanation for the Rosh, right? Because adkan, just to remind you, yeah, in terms of explaining why we should have this leniency of putting in water and taking it in, yeah, when usually that whole leniency is only limited to putting something permissible on a mace and being able to move a mace on that basis. We don't see that heter anywhere else. So we had two approaches. We had the Rashba, who said, yeah, there's a particular pressing need because of Kavod, of being able to use it again. And we had the Rosh. Now, according to Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, he wanted to explain the Rosh is some kind of tichilas, sefer mishum tichilaso. Yeah, but the Korid Nisanel brings the Beis Yosef, yeah, and he wants to say, you know, no, that he wants to say that's, you know, he thinks there's a different explanation for the Rosh, yeah, why the Rosh wasn't machalek, yeah, and without having to come on to the complication, the Tichukim he says in the Beis Yosef. So what does he say? He says, I want to say something very simple, yeah, that what happens is, yeah, that it's Kolzman, yeah, that you know, you've got this graph shell ray, right, and it's an empty one, yeah? It's disgusting. It's mos, yeah? Right? And it would be muksa, right? And it hasn't got any other kind of usage, yeah? You can't, like, use it, you know, there's some things, by the way, generally, so to speak, the halacha of muksum shumius, yeah? Halacha lemais, it doesn't seem to apply very much, which is generally because we say that as long as you could use it for some kind of other usage, even if it's turning it and putting it on top of something or something like that, even if it's a bit disgusting, yeah? We hold that if it's got some other kind of usage, we'll be make like it's machri. We basically pass it based upon Rabbi Shimon. But it says the Korban Nisanon here has basically no other usage. Yeah, you're not going to be able to put it on top of something. It's disgusting kli. It should be muksa. It's basically not a kli. Yeah, but it says the Korban Nisanon. But once you put in water, then it loses its hold. It's not muse anymore. And that's what's going on here. That's what we're saying. Yeah, we're saying take this thing. Yeah. Empty it out, you're allowed to take it out, empty it out, it's graf sherei, that's a heter. Now you've kind of got this kli, which is disgusting, and it tucker is not really a kli, it's muksa basically, yeah, shemias. But you could just pour in water, and hey presto, it's no longer disgusting. And that's what the Rosh is saying. You're basically taking away the mias. Mm-hmm. Okay, ad kan the korban nisana, yeah?
Now let's use the air freshener.
Or air freshener, yeah. it's a simple way. It's basically a simple way of taking away the status of mi'as.
Yeah, but this coming into the
altar
only has one use, right?
Yeah. Kill you on fire today. Yeah. This is it. So the Tillis L'David, yeah? This is the question that Tillis L'David asks on this Korban Nisanon, yeah? And there's two questions, but that's the first main question. Tillis L'David says, I don't understand what this Korban Nisanon is saying, yeah? We've got a concept, yeah? That anything which going in Shabbos or Yom Tov, yeah? Has a status of muksa, yeah? You can't just go, you know, that fixes its status, yeah? So even if pouring water means it's no longer mius, yeah? But, you know, this was a bedpan going into Shabbos or Yom Tov, yeah? It was disgusting, yeah? Right? And now you're pouring in water, how b'chol should it help? That's his kashya. And he adds a second kashya, and he says, and by the way, yeah, insofar as what we said was, even something which is muksa shal mius, if it has some kind of other usage, yeah? Then actually we paskin that it's permitted, yeah? So he says, well, if you could, you're going to fill in water and you could use it just to actually carry water, transport water to behemoth. So in that case, even without having to fill it up with water, that would come under the category of something kli shel muksa, shel mius, yeah, which has another usage. So anyway, you don't even need to fill it with water. It's just a potential would be enough. So anyway, you know, if this is true, it should be okay according to if this is a genuine normal usage of the kli, yeah.
Right.
So those are the kashas of Tillis L'David, yeah. Now, this is where I deviate a bit from my sheet. So I want to say something fancy, yeah, which might be right, but it doesn't really fit necessarily so nicely into the words of the Korban Nisanon. So my Knight Chavrusa wanted to suggest, yeah, that this is really what the Korban Nisanon is saying, yeah, and it's probably, I think he's probably more accurate than what I'm saying, so I'm going to say over what he said, yeah. But I do want to come on to the Chazon Ish if possible, yeah, and if people aren't going to get to, because the Chazon Ish is an amazing different approach to this sugya. Okay, but let's try just using my Chavrusa's approach to explain the Korban Nisanon. So he wanted to say, just a very simple thing, that actually, the normal way in which one kind of keeps, yeah, this graf sharei or this abit sharei raglarim, yeah, going into Shabbos Yom Tov, is that actually the normal thing is to wash it out, right? So basically, you know, that's kind of, you know, you have a graf sharei, right? And yeah, that every time basically kind of it's used, yeah, it's emptied out, and then you wash it out so that it's no longer really so disgusting and you can kind of keep it lying around. So in Achanami, going into Shabbos or Yom Tov, yeah, it was washed out and available for usage, yeah? And it's taka, not maus, yeah? And then what happens is, you then use it, yeah? Right? And then once it's used, yeah, even when you chuck out the kind of contents, yeah? But at that point in time, yeah, it really is maus, yeah? And in that status of being maus, yeah, you can't use it for anything. We're not even going to consider that it's kind of not used in that status, even when you're for carrying around water, yeah, because it tucker is maus. It just happens to be, right, that when you put in water, right, and you kind of you're kind of doing it, so to speak, in order, you'll be able to use that water, but you basically accomplish two things. By putting in that water, and then you can then use that water for your behemoth or whatever, yeah? Actually, taka takes away the mius, right? And once it takes away the mius, basically you've got no problem anymore. It goes back to its status, its original status that it had. Right, well, so I actually added on my sheet, yeah, that I was wondering, when I said to my chavrusa, that sounds very nice, and that's probably the simple pshat, yeah? But then it might get into the machlokas of where there's mux lachatz and shabbos.
It's b'yadayim.
Yeah, but so that's what we discussed, is it b'yadayim? But I said if it's b'yadayim, then right, even before, it should never have a status of mux from the first place. We saw a boiling pot. I didn't want to get into this detail, but saw a pot that was boiling, that was going right, b'yadayim. These are the discussions I was having basically with my chavrusa, so we didn't necessarily come to a full conclusion. Yeah? Yeah, he's a good guy. But anyway, tachlis, that, I don't know what the Olam thinks, but it probably, that might well be the simple explanation of Korban HaSanah, in which case it comes out, yeah, that this is not actually any fancy heter, really, yeah, of permitting carrying muksa through something else the Rashba seems to go with, and the other Rishonim seems to go with. It's actually just a very simple solution, right, of putting in water. It's basically to kind of clean it out, really, yeah, and then you just, you carry it in with the water kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's just a very different approach to this whole heter in the Gemara. But what I wanted to share with you, if you don't mind, if you've got just a few more seconds, yeah, because then, so Adkan, you can pause and just, if you want to kind of turn off, I don't want to overload because there's a lot of kind of different things here. But I did want to have the opportunity of sharing the Chazanish, because Chazanish is Geschmack, and I was a bit blown away by it, yeah? The Chazanish basically wants to turn the whole sugya on its head, right? So put your seatbelt on here for something a bit radical, okay? So the Chazanish wants to say that he disputes the concept, the whole concept, yeah, that this Graf Sharei should taka be mux and machmas mius at all, yeah, once it's used, yeah. So i.e. he accepts that obviously once it's got the disgusting wastage, human wastage inside, that would be muksa, right? But he wants to say that this graph on itself, yeah, once you empty it out, yeah, he wants to say it's better than any other situation of a muksa machmas mius, right? Because be'etzim it's a kli, yeah? And he says any kind of other situation of muksa machmas mius is where you have a kli, let's say you have like a spit and it's a used spit and now it's disgusting, yeah? But the disgusting part takes away from its normal usage, right? So, usually you've got a cooking item like a, and then once you use it, and then it becomes disgusting, right? Then that's like takes away from its normal usage as being a cooking item. But it says the Chazanish, this whole idea of this kli is meant to be used in that way. It doesn't take away from its usage, yeah? It may not be like, you may not want to kind of, maybe a little bit smelly or whatever, but the tachlis, that is the normal usage of this kli. So that says the Chazanish, he wants to say, yeah, that taka, it's not really be'etzem kind of, muksa at all, yeah? And based on that, he wants to say in Achanami, there was just this whole din of having to bring it in with water with some kind of like, kind of later chumra. He doesn't actually explain why it was needed, that chumra, but he says it's a din brasra, yeah? It's a later din, it's kind of some kind of chumra din, but it's not, therefore, based on what he's saying, is it's not working based on this concept we said before, where you carry muksa with a muta item, because be'etzem he wants to say it's not muksa. But here's what's geschmack. He says, and I'll bring you a raya for what I'm saying from the sukkah itself. Yeah? Now this is taka why at the beginning I wanted to read this part out, because it's the geschmack raya, I think, yeah? So he says, if you remember the Gemara brought this din of Shmuel, yeah, which says you can take the thing out and empty it out, and then you can take it back in by putting in water. And then the next, very next sentence of the Gemara said, we had a Havramina based on this, yeah, that you could only move a kind of a Graf Sharei Agav Mana. Right, maybe not directly. You can't move the muksa directly. You can only move it through the vessel. Says the Chazon Ish, what do we see from here? It must be the vessel itself is not muksa. If the vessel itself is itself a kind of graf shorein, right, it's muksa machmas mius, right? Then why are we trying to prove anything, yeah? From the fact that maybe you can't move like something which is mius directly, you have to move it through a kli. If the kli itself is maus, yeah, and it's got a status of that, then there's no, then obviously you're moving the kli, yeah. Elamai, the fact that the Gemara had a haver mina to say that it can only be moved through a mana, a kli which is taka lachora, not muksa, must mean that this thing, even when it's got the defecation inside, the kli itself is not muksa. So anyway, I thought that was a geschmack raya. But what's amazing is this Chazon Ish basically seems to be going on a different verse, different path to at least the Rashba and a number of the Rishonim. But I want
the whole definition of Rishas.
Of Shari. Yeah, well, I mean the graph itself Taki would say is not muksa, it's the ray inside that's muksa. Anyway, I wanted to say originally, yeah, that I wanted to use this to explain the Korban Nisanel, yeah? And basically maybe say that's kind of what the Korban Nisanel was saying, that Be'etzem, it's not, it's just a little bit Miyush, but it's not really Miyush Machmas Muksa. And therefore, you know, the idea of you know, was that the reason why it's not really Muksa Machmas Miyush, even though it is smelly, is because this is its normal usage, yeah? And therefore, right, that this chumrah of just putting water in is because, you know, it's just to take away that kind of bit of mius that's there because it's not pleasant. But be'etzem, yeah, that's all you need to do. Anyway, that was my, but it was a bit more, I think if you look inside the Korban Nisanel itself, it's hard to fit that all into it. But it's a geschmack of pshat. Anyway.
Okay.